Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we remain standing and open our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. And taking our text from verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. Let's bow our heads in prayer. To gracious Father, we are so thankful, Lord, knowing that Christ is our life. And when he has come in this hour to appear to Phanaru, we shall Phanaru along with him. For it's the same life now in the church. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand. And we know that this appearing is in glory with him. And that glory is your word doxa, which means in your values and your opinion. And so, Father, we're asking that you would help us, Lord, to die to this body of this death. As Paul said, who can deliver me from the body of this death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ who giveth me the victory. And Father, we know that at the time of your great appearing, we are to appear. And it is the same life that will appear in the same glory, in the same values, the same opinion, the same word. And so, Lord, we just commit these bodies to the reflection of thy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Now notice when Christ appears, we also appear. When Christ manifests in his fullness, we're going to do the same. And we're told in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, Beloved, now are we sons of God, and what we will be has not yet been known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, we shall see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just or even as he is pure. Notice our hope is not in ourselves, but our hope is in him. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 we read, But thou faithful, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Again in 2 Timothy 4 and 8, Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but all them that love his appearing. So we're looking at this crown. In 1 Corinthians 13 verse 9 to 12, But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things, because I put away childish thinking. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I'm known. So as you know, you become known. Or actually, as you become known, well, it works both ways, because when he appears, we appear. 1 Peter 5 and 4, And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, in two of Brother Branham's sermons, especially Christ Revealed in His Own Word, and the Spoken Word's Original Seed, in which we preached 411 sermons from those two sermons of his, we saw where the complete word seed of God would have to be sown in this hour in order to complete the body to come up at the end time. And so we see the same life that was sown in the original seed, Christ Jesus, was to return in this hour, not only among the people, but it shall enter into the people as well. I'm not talking about the person. I'm talking about the seed life. The complete seed, meaning the complete life that was in the seed, has got to come back into human flesh in a bride in this hour. Not just in a human flesh. Not just in one human flesh. Don't think that I'm mixing things up. And don't you mix things up. We're not talking about God and a prophet. We're talking about God and his people. We're not talking about Elohim being in the people. We're talking about Elohim's life being in the people. And the same Elohim life, or the same God life that was in Christ, is the same God life that was in his prophet, is the same God life that's in you and I. And don't think that Elohim himself was in Brother Branham. He was not. Brother Branham said, you know who I'm waiting for. That means he wasn't there. Right? Okay. And neither is Elohim in the bride. Not corporally, not universally. He's with the bride, but his life is in the bride. Now, in 1 Peter 1:23 we read, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So you see, we're speaking of the original seed, the original life back in human flesh again, and that is why we're told our new birth is to be an incorruptible one, which shall never fade away. Now, this is not true of the so-called Pentecost today. Those people who claim a new birth seem to be, need a new filling or a refilling each and every week. And why would that be? Because they've been born again of a corruptible seed. But we are a privileged people, and you children that were born and raised in this message are a privileged children because you have received an incorruptible seed word. You don't have to weigh things out. You don't have to filter things through. You just have to dial to yourself. So you see, you have been truly born again. If you've been truly born again, you will not fall away. So how do you receive a true new birth? By receiving the true revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, in nature, once a woman conceives, she doesn't need any further insemination to bring forth that life that is in her into complete manifestation. All she needs is to wait the 9-month period while human cells are being added to human cells. And that is the same way with the Word of God. We don't need to be born again every time we come to church. But what we do have need of is for God's word to be piled word upon word upon word to bring forth that celestial body, to grow that celestial body around that predestinated word germ seed given to us by God. Now, I say this because I'm very concerned for some of the young people in this message who have walked away from the Word of God for some job or for whatever excuse they wish to use for the moment. You can't tell me that money isn't the root of all evil. Not when I see young people and older ones placing a higher value for a few pieces of green paper than they do for God and for His Word and eternal life. And this money system we have is all a house of cards anyway. As Brother Branham called 50 years ago, he said, it's a false economy, it's built on false currency. When this nation and the world turned down the gold standard for fiat currency, that was the beginning of the end of the economy right there. And it's interesting that God types deity in Scripture with gold. And they turned down gold right after turning down this message. When Brother Branham said they elected the wrong man when they elected John Kennedy, he was speaking of they should have elected Nixon because in the vision he saw what Nixon did. I believe that's what he did. Otherwise, why would he say they elected the wrong man? And it was Nixon who turned us away from the gold standard and turned our money into fiat paper. And it was also Nixon that brought disgrace upon the office of president and upon politics in general. So when you walk away from God and His Word for this phony 2-bit green stuff, you're on your way towards eternal separation from God right there. I want you to know that I've turned down more of that green stuff than some of you will make in an entire lifetime. I've had opportunity to play professional sports. I've had opportunity to take jobs that were in the 6 digits back in the 90s when 6 digits was worth something. And I turned it down because I knew that, look, and we get faced with this every day in the mission field. We have people take, you know, they decide, well, we're not going to support the missions anymore. That's fine. My father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. I don't need to have any one particular person, and I don't have to bow down to any particular group. And I don't say that to be mean. I don't say that to be throwing slings. I'm just saying that because I know who I serve. And I know that my God is more than able to raise up children out of the rocks. That's what Jesus said. Out of the stones, raising up children unto Abraham. So we don't have to be dependent on a political organization or organized religion or a denomination or any of that kind of stuff. We just have to serve our living God. Now, The scripture tells us in the last days some shall depart from the faith. That's 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh especially that in the last time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Notice they'll depart from, not from faith in general, but the faith. That's this message. And the thing of it is that they know better and they do it anyway. Then if they can willfully walk away from the truth, what condition was their soul in to begin with? James 4:17 tells us, to him that knoweth to do right and does not do it, to him it is sin. That is why the scripture admonishes us in Hebrews 3:13 to exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now what does it mean to exhort one another? It means to call to one's attention, to summon, or to entreat. Why are we commanded to exhort one another on a daily basis? Because sin is so deceitful, that's why. And yet, how can we exhort one another if we never see one another in church? What about those of us who take the assembling of the saints so lightly? Does not God tell us in Hebrews 10:25-26, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching? For if we disbelieve willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. The problem is that if we are truly born again, we will have a divine revelation in our heart. And we would be so miserable in our hearts if we knew that we were not pleasing to God. I don't care who we are. We will never make it on someone else's coattails. From Christ, the mystery of God revealed, Brother Branson, the new birth is Christ. The new birth is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's the new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all of that group together where the revelation is perfectly in harmony? And God expressing it through His Word by the same actions, the same things that He did, making the Word manifest. Oh, if the church only knew its position, it will one day. Then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. Now notice you say, Brother Branham, but that ain't... Oh, yes it is. It is the truth. Well, how can God express the same thing by the same actions if you believe it was only in one person? When that person's not here and hasn't been here for 50 years. Now listen, that same Spirit 100 years from now, if the Lord should tarry, and God help us if He does, they'll be saying, well, it was only in one person. They did it in almost every age. People just, they're always looking backwards. And then you got people always looking forward, but they're failing to recognize what God is doing right now. Now I was not born in the time of William Branham. I mean, I was 12 years old when he died. I did not have the opportunity to sit there and ask questions and to follow his ministry when he was living. But the things that he taught, I believe because they're right from the scripture. And not that I'm judging a prophet. I can't judge a prophet. You can't judge a prophet. But God vindicated that prophet. And so I believe. And therefore, if the things that he said aren't happening in me, then there's something wrong with me and something wrong with you. Now in the early church, I'm going to read it one of these days. We're going to get into this a little bit more. Just letting things cool down a little bit. But in the early church, and Brother Branham says it in the Church Age book, that almost in every believer there were signs happening. Right. Not that we should be looking for signs. We look to the Word and then the signs follow. If you're a sheep, you'll bear wool. You don't produce it. But Brother Branham said there was constantly people being raised from the dead and everything else. Where is it today? For 50 years, where is it? Huh? I'm going to tell you, because the people all put their... They all let somebody else do their religion for them. But God spoke to William Branham. He said, because you have chosen the more difficult way. There's a great portion of heaven, and this will usher in the victory in the love divine. Now, if you're going to follow in His footsteps, you got to die to yourself. You got to humble down. And Brother Branham said, but the problem with Pentecost is they got all puffed up when God did something. Me, I, myself, look at me. He's, what are we preaching about, ourselves or Jesus Christ? And that's the problem. We're not humble enough. We all have this class envy and this class identification because the politics, it's all class, class, class. Forget the class. Get your eyes on Christ. And so reflect Christ that He will reflect through you. Now we all, every one of us, both young and old, must be born again. Or we will never see, or never could see, the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said in John 3:13, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And what does it mean to see the kingdom of God? To see means to understand or to perceive. So we ask, to understand what? The kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? It is His rulership. It's His lordship. It's His sovereignty. It's His power. It's His dominion. And you will never get this by just going to church. You must be born again. Christianity is not a social movement. Coming to church is not a social thing to do. Sometimes you'd be fortunate, very fortunate, if it takes the skin off the hide of off your back. If it's God doing it. From Christ as the mystery of God revealed, he said, we're not supposed to make converts to Christianity by a government, but by the revelation of Christ in you as God was in Christ. Well, we can see the revelation of Christ in Brother Branham. Is that right? Amen, everybody. But what about you? He said, in you. That's the new birth. Until you can see Christ in you, until you can see Christ in you, you don't have that revelation. You don't have that new birth. From earnestly contending for the faith, intellectual faith is not enough. That's all right, but it only brings you to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is a personal experience of the birth, the new birth, regeneration, making a new creature in Christ. It's a personal experience. Well, I believe, therefore I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Hogwash. Well, I believe the message of the hour, therefore I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Hogwash. The devil believes and he trembles. Again, if I can say it again and again and again, when Brother Branham and Brother Vail talked about not the experience, but the evidence, it comes down to your belief in this word. Not a mental belief, brother, sister, a personal experience. Do you experience this message? It's an experiential knowledge we're talking about. When Mary said, how can I, being having known no man, not up here, but here, having known no man, having experienced no man, how can I be conceiving? How could I have conceived? That word gnosko, to come at the end time, is to be an experiential knowledge. Not up here, brother, sister. Oh, it begins here. Brother Brown said it begins with mental faith. But when the Holy Spirit anoints it, it drops into here. And if you don't have it here, you don't have it. You just don't have it. Well, Brother Brandon, what is the new birth? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. Not to William Branham. That was his new birth. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. He said Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ, and Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. See? You see what God's trying to do? What is the new birth then? You say, well, Brother Brown, what is the new birth? It's the revelation of Christ personally to you. Amen. See, not you joined a church, you shook a hand, you done something different, you said a creed, you promised to live by a code of rules, but Christ, the Bible. He is the Word that was revealed to you, and no matter what anybody says, it, and what takes place is Christ. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, is Christ in you. That's the revelation that the church was built upon. And if I ask you the question today then, how many of you read your Bible every day? What would your answer be? How many of you are feeding word upon word every day? What would your answer be? Now come on, I'm not up here just jamming my jaws. I'm up here to challenge you. all of us, if we're going to be called Christians, or if we call ourselves Christians, look, it doesn't matter what you call yourself. It's what other people call you. And if you're going to be called Christians, it's because you are Christ-like. Not just that you've hung the shingle of Malachi 4. Too many people have done that. But this is the key here. If you are truly born again, Christ is the center of your life. And everything else is a distant last. Your job, your family, your friends, your home, your cars, whatever there is in your life is a distant last when Christ is preeminent and He is on the throne of your heart. Years ago, I preached a sermon called The Almost Christian. We showed how King Agrippa, after hearing Paul's testimony, he said to him, "Paul, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian." And Paul said to him, "I would that you were altogether like as I am, except without these bonds." Why? Because almost is not good enough. An almost Christian is still a lost soul. An almost Christian is still headed for the lake of fire. And so we find that there are those who will come forth at the great white throne one day and they'll hear those notorious words, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. You that know better but had your own thoughts about it. I never knew you. You never had an intimate relationship in your heart with me, so depart from me." Now look, I'm not talking works here. But I'm talking about eternal life. We're not talking about church theology. We're talking about life. Eternal life. From Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Brother Brown said, not your theology. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ is a new birth. He injects His own life. And your life is gone and the life of Christ is projecting itself through you with the preeminence to the people that they see the very life. That they see the very life. From Super Sign, Brother Branham said, "Now, let me tell you, anything outside of being born again will never reach the rapture. Unless there is a germ of life inside you, you'll perish. You cannot rise up again." And so I hope that you'll understand why I constantly bring these things to your attention. Because after all, we will all have to give account of what we have done with this great message that God has given to us. Every one of us, both small and great, will have to give an account for what we have done in our bodies. In Romans 14, verse 11 to 12, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." In Matthew 16, 27, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works." As I just said, one day soon we will all have to give an accounting for what we have done with this great message that God has given to us. And this is what I would like to point out this morning. We are all going to have to give an account one day for our stewardship of this message before God. In Luke 16, verse 1 to 2, and verse 11 to 13 we read, "We are all going to have to give an account of our stewardship to God." Now, what does it mean to give an account? You're going to have to show what you did with what He gave you. Let's turn to Luke 16. And reading from verse 1 to 2 and then from verse 11 to 13. Jesus told His disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So He called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be a manager any longer.'" And then we find in verse 11 to 13, just to save a little time, "So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own?" Now the King James says it a little bit differently. That's the NIV. But it means the same thing. It's just that simple. If you haven't been trustworthy with what you've had in this natural, what's God going to do? If you haven't been trustworthy in the spiritual, you might make it over there, but you'll be poor. You won't be rich with... And he said, if you've walked away from family and friends and from houses and land, for my sake, that's his word, he'll reward you 100-fold in this world and the world to come. And the world to come. That means on the other side, you're storing up treasure as well. You see. In John 1:18, 2 John 1:8 and 1 verse 8, look to yourselves that you lose not those things which you have worked for, struggled for, but that you receive a full reward. And in Revelation 3 verse 11, we turn and John tells us in Revelation 3 verse 11, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will lose or no one will take away your crown. Well, I say, what crown is this? Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:8 that he was to receive a crown of glory, a crown of righteousness, right wiseness, which fadeth not away. We find the same crown spoken of in 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Well, Paul said crown of righteousness, Peter said crown of glory. Well, that word glory is doxa. It is the righteousness of God, it's his values, it's his opinions. So they're both saying the same thing. Terminology might be different, but notice he calls it a crown of glory, which is the same thing Paul said. In Luke 18, verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And that's the problem. There was 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. Now listen, the foolish virgins once had oil in their lamp. They once had the anointing upon the Word, because the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet, and we're told in Scripture. And they once had anointing upon the Word, but they lost it. Why? They got focused on everything else. They let it dry up. They didn't use it. How many of you use the message on a daily basis? How many of you are using the revelation of Jesus Christ on a daily basis? How many of you are gleaning through that word? Huh? Matthew 16:25-26, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? When I went through the Vikings, Minnesota Viking training camp, and having played football on Saturdays in college, we didn't play on Sunday, and so I was able to keep holy the Sabbath, as the Scripture says. And it was a Christian Sabbath. It was our honoring the resurrection. His brother Branham, at the age of 12, went and unset all his traps. At the age of 12, he put a lot of people to shame in this message. At the age of 12, he wouldn't allow his traps to kill an animal and let that animal sit in that trap for 24 hours. He unset every one of them. And he had a lot of them. Because he said every time he got the traps, you know, he'd put the money back in and buy more traps. And he'd swim out into the swamps and things to unset them. It wasn't just a matter of you guys dialing up on your cell phone and saying, unset all my traps. Okay, it's done. That's where we've gotten today. He went out into the swamps. He went out and unset all those traps. And I know, when I was a kid, I had traps. I trapped mink and other things. But there was a mink farm, and there was a swamp where the minks would run off into, and we set our traps down there. we'd trap fox and other things. We'd get a few bucks for the pelts. Devon's brother did the same thing growing up. It was kind of a our generational thing to do, and to make some money if you're a kid. And I know, you know, it was not an easy thing. Every day we went out to set our traps. We'd check our traps in the afternoon or in the evening time. So that's probably why we all stayed in shape today. Kids just do everything with this little thing. Their little fingers are in shape. You see? But Brother Branham made the effort on a Saturday in the evening to unset all of his traps. And yet we have people that will work on Sunday. Right in the message. Call it, you know, and I don't say they're not a Christian for it. I just say that they're not focused. They're giving in to the devil. The devil's pressure that says you've got to do this. You don't have to do anything but serve God. So, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, it all depends on your motives. Are you looking to please your church or are you looking to please your Heavenly Father? Now, if you are His, it is impossible that you'll be lost. But it doesn't mean that you won't go empty on the other side. In John 6:39, and this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which He hath given to me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Revelation 3:11, behold, I come quickly, hold fast thou which thou hast, that no man would take thy crown. 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. In fact, we see Jesus use this word many times when he would question the unbelievers. He would say, what think ye of this, or what think ye of that? So what man, he says, he that thinketh he standeth, you better watch, lest you fall. In Matthew 22, verse 42 to 46, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And they say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, then how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to ask him a word, neither durst any man from that day forward ask him any more questions. He showed them that they had no thought coming. But the real answer can be found in Galatians 6:3, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth only himself. But let every man prove his own works, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Because it really doesn't matter what you think, it only matters what God thinks. In Luke 12, verse 42 to 48, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make him ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season. Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. And if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servant and maid servant, and drink, eat and drink, and be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in that day when he looks not for him, and at that hour when he is not aware, and he will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared himself not, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of them they will be asked the more. Here we find God calling the ministry as steward. And then he also tells us that those who knew to prepare themselves for his coming and didn't, they will get tribulation. Now, to have to go through the tribulation does not mean that you'll be totally lost. But you will certainly have to pay for your neglect. And how will you pay for your neglect? With your very life. That's how. God doesn't play our little games, and he certainly doesn't fool around. He says what he means, and he means what he says. Steve, could you hit the clicker and turn that on? It's getting a little cool in here. Now, what is this? Oh, excuse me, Christina, turn it off. Adam, would you turn up the heat in the back? Put it on about 68. I guess it's off, Steve. She unplugged it. Now, what does this all come down to? It all boils down to recognition and understanding what we're here for. Remember the title of Brother Branham's message called Hearing, Recognizing, and Acting Upon the Word of God? Well, that is exactly what it means. And it all comes down to the innate ability to be able to recognize God and His Word, which is His message. Webster tells us that the word recognize means to recall to the mind, and the R-E before re and call, the R-E meaning again. And the word call comes from the word cognition, which is a knowing. Therefore, to recognize is to be aware of, to know by some detail as appearance or identity, to be aware of the significance, to acknowledge the existence of, the validity or authority or genuineness of, to accept and acknowledge as worthy of appreciation and approval. Big words, but it means a lot. And so we see in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 2 that Paul is letting us know that it all comes down to recognition. It's knowing him in the power of his resurrection. And I ask you this morning, do you personally know him in the power of his resurrection? Yes or no? In Ephesians 1 verse 17 to 18, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. In other words, recognition to know him and his vindicating power. In Matthew 13, verse 10 to 16, and the disciples came and said unto him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, whosoever echoes, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, whosoever echoes not, whosoever doesn't talk this message every day, doesn't reflect in their life the things that God is giving them, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks that he is echoing. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, yet they see not, and hearing, yet they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. In Mark 4, verse 11 and 12, and they said unto him, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. But not everyone is ordained to know. And we, look, if there's 2 million people in this message, and we know that there's been all kinds of doctrines floating around in this message, people coming up with all kinds of things that are crazy, like baptizing people in the name of Brother Branham because they believe the second coming was fulfilled and Brother Branham was a physical, corporal body of the second coming. It's not given for them to know. Brother Bram said this message is not for everybody. It's not for them. And I'm asking you the question, is it for you? Is this message for you and you? Is a message for you? Is it for you? Is it for you and you? Is it for you? Is it for you? If it's for you, there'll be a quickening to it, a living for it, a living by it. In Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. The biggest enemy to Christ, and the biggest enemy to this message is those imposters in the message. Right in the pews, right in the pulpits, that are imposters, not living the life. Not living what they say. Paul said, be doers of the word. James said, be doers of the word. Not just talkers. To know him in the power of his resurrection, we must forsake every other thing that we have ever held onto as dear to ourselves. Forsaking all. And so we see what, and remember Jesus said, the pearl of great price. You're going to pay a great price by walking in the light. But it's a pearl of great price. And that person has sold everything they had to get that pearl. And so we see what Paul is telling us in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved. How do you show yourself approved? Study. Study, 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 study. Study the message. Study the word. Study the hour which you're living in. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now this concerns the need to rightly divide the truth. How can you be a good steward of God, of what God has given you, if you don't even know what it is that you have? A steward is nothing more than being a manager of someone else's property. That's why the King James or the NIV set used the word manager instead of steward. You see? Managing someone else's property. We're told in Psalm 24 and 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And so therefore, everything belongs to the Lord, and therefore, what we do have in our possession is merely given to us by Him for a time when we are here on earth. And so we see in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 what it means to rightly divide the word. And you can't rightly divide what he said if you don't know what the author said or what he's trying to tell you. Brother Brown preached a message. He cares. Do you care? Do you care? And so we hear Brother Brown tell us in his sermon, Christ revealed in his own word. He said to dislocate the scripture. You might put his body together wrong, the foot where the head should be or something. Just the same. In other words, you might have Jesus teaching Moses' message. You might even have Wesley teaching Luther's age. You might have now our age teaching Pentecost, a Pentecostal message. So you see right there, brothers and sisters, he's telling us it's wrong to continue on with a Pentecostal message. You see what a mess it would be? Pentecost has already showed its colors. Luther already showed his. Went off into denomination. It died right there. The age struck. There it went. Notice just as soon as it was organized, it died. Now just see if that isn't right. Look back through the page of history. Every time it organized, it died right there. There never was no more to it. It became a worshiper of God of the world. It went off into organisms and organizations and denominations and illusions. A bunch of rookies got in there and put their own objections into it, or injected their own thoughts rather into it. And what did it happen? It became a mess. Going to head up in the God of this world, where they'd thrown Satan himself, thinking that they're having a great world leader to bring them peace. It's around the corner, brother, sister. And if the Lord tarries much longer, you're all going to be here to see it. Let's just pray that you're not those that will see it, because we'll be gone by then. But Brother Branham said, it's a delusion. So what do you have? Revelation or delusion? Because deluded people think they got something revealed to them. They think it's revelation. It's a delusion. Now, Brother Branham said, to dislocate the scripture, you might have now our age teaching Pentecost the Pentecostal message. You see what a mess it would be. Pentecost has already shown their colors, and that is exactly what has happened. He said those little rookies came over, they come in and they messed up everything. He said every time they organized, it died right there. There never was no more to it. It became a worshiper of the God of this world. It went off into organisms and organizations and denominations and illusions. A bunch of rookies got in there and put their own objections into it, or injected their own thoughts rather into it. And what did it happen? It became a mess. Now, first of all, he tells us that to preach the Pentecostal message today just makes a mess out of everything. Then he tells us to interject our own thoughts will only bring us into an illusion. How fitting these words describe those who come along with their Pentecostal illusions and say you must have a vision of Jesus coming to you personally in order to receive the Holy Ghost. Show me that in the Scriptures. Others tell us that God gave them a vision to lead the bride into the rapture and yet married 2-3 times. It's an illusion. Still others claim to be the Joshua who lead the bride into the rapture, some by playing their guitars with 6-inch picks, remember that years ago? Or others by playing the piano. And they offer the people nothing but illusion and pretty bad music. You ever hear that guy? I don't know if I got the tape around here. My kids at 3 and 4 years old, they laughed. They said, this guy is crazy. They were right. The guy thought he could have some type of... He could hear an angel when he picked the strings wrong. More like hearing the devil. And what is an illusion but a false idea or conception? It's a belief or opinion that is not in accord with the facts. And a deception that is not real, a misleading appearance or image. It's a false perception, conception, or interpretation of what one sees, a misleading image resulting in a wrong impression. So we see again that these thoughts of a false interpretation, and Brother Brown further called them an illusion, which means the word is interpreted in such a way as to make it appear to be different than what it really is, like a mirage in the desert that you think that you see, but it's not really there. And listen, these things took place right in the message. One guy coming along saying that, you know, he's playing the piano 1 year old. He still can't play. Saying that he was a Joshua. Getting people to run around and he'd stand there and look at you and he'd try to act like he was discerning. Somebody in here, oh, the Lord showed me, somebody in here has a teenage child that's not behaving. Oh, really? Well, what are the odds of that? 1 in 2? I sat in a meeting, Morris Sorello, 4,000 people back in the 70s. Morris Sorello, trying to imitate Brother Branham. Well, the Lord's showing me somebody in here. There's 2 dozen men in here that have a hernia. There was 4,000 people in there. Over 2,000 were men. The odds are that 1 in 80 has a hernia. How many would that be? 3-4 dozen? So if you get 24 people who admit, raise your hand. Ah, now see, I'm spiritual. These guys play the numbers. You're learning a few things about statistics, Brother John. You see how they can take statistics and twist them any way they want, and they use statistics. There's a guy named Peter Popoff years ago did the same thing. He used statistics. Yeah, I could probably say some things in here and probably hit about 3 or 4 of you. Just because it's a common problem in people. And you think, oh, he's discerning me, he's preaching about me. Like a sister years ago, I hammered on. I said, you know, you let your kids have these worldly posters in their bedroom. And a sister came up to me afterwards. She says, how dare you target me and preach against, you know, my son's bedroom. I said, sister, when have I ever been in your son's bedroom? You know, those are worldly issues. And if you happen to fall prey to them, repent. As Brother Howard told me years ago, he said, when the Word of God hits me hard, he said, I have to ask myself, is it me or is it not me? If it's not me, then I'm fine. If it is me, then I need to make it right. I need to get right. In Isaiah 29, verse 7, the word Ariel here means the Lion of God. And if you just turn with me to Isaiah chapter 29, we're going to read a verse. Scripture here. In verse 7, 29 verse 7. Then the hordes of all the nations that fight against Ariel, or the Lion of God, that attack her and her fortress and besiege her, will be as it was with a dream, with a night vision. As when a hungry man dreams that he is eating, but he awakens and his hunger remains. As when a thirsty man dreams that he is drinking, but he awakens faint, with his thirst unquenched. So will it be with the hordes of all nations that fight against Mount Zion. And Brother Branham said Mount Zion is the bride. So you see, it's a night vision. It's a delusion. Revelation 10:1-3. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. He had in his little hand a book open, and he set his foot upon the sea, and left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, 7 thunders uttered their voice. Now we know that God himself likens the roar of a lion to his own voice, which is his prophetic utterance, as we see in the book of Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord hath spoken, who can but prophesy? Now, so they want to fight against the Lion of God, the messenger. Now back in Isaiah 29:7, this passage refers not to the Lord himself, but she which has taken his name, which would have to be made his bride. That would make it his bride. And here we see the scripture warning us about what will happen to those who are found fighting against the elect of God. Verse 8, it shall even be as when a hungry man dreams, and behold, he eateth, but he awakens, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion, that fight against the bride. Thinking they're eating spiritual food in due season, and they're not. And their souls are craving and starving. Didn't he say that they'll be running north and south, east and west, looking for the Word of God? But they won't find it. Notice that these men are living in a delusion. They eat from the bread of life, but it is only a dream. When they awake from their dream, they will still be empty because they are living in a delusion, a false vision or deception. And what has caused this? Their own opinions are held in more esteem to themselves than the Word of God. Notice that in verse 10 to 12, we are told that they will be in slumber, and the Lord will have brought upon them the deep slumber, and their dreams will not produce anything for them. Now remember, we're showing how the little Rickies will come into this message with their own opinions, turning the message into a mess, age, and bring forth an illusion to the people. We further see evidence of this in Jeremiah 23 and verse 32. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. In other words, not taking it seriously. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit my people at all, saith the Lord. Notice that their dreams will not profit the people any. Therefore, what purpose is there for these men to keep up with their own lies? Isaiah 66, 4 to 5 says, I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. And when I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose what that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, you that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated me, that cast you out for my name's sake, said the Lord, be glorified, that he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be confounded. They shall be ashamed. Notice that God will send them delusions. Now God himself does not place these lies in them, but he allows a lying spirit to enter into these men who are false, and to lead them further away from the truth by tempting them to turn further away. Since they themselves already have turned down the truth, God then only allows to happen to them what they have already shown a desire for. And that is a lying spirit to come down and lead them further into their own deceit, as we see in 2 Chronicles 18. Again he saith, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one spake after this manner, another spake after this manner. And there came out a spirit, and stood before the Lord, and he said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go out, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt prevail. Go out and do so. Do even so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil against thee. Then Zedekiah the son of Chananiah came near and smote Micaiah upon the cheek, and he said, which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day, when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10 to 13, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that are perishing, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrightwiseness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Notice they chose themselves. They they chose not to love the Lord, not to love the Word. But they took pleasure in that which was not right. Now I want you to know the difference here between those that are elect and those who are not. And that is why God gave us a ministry as Paul and Martin Luther, as they pointed out, who will not bring forth delusion or illusions, but will speak the truth in love, as we see in Ephesians 4. Notice Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 15, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting, that's the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Unto the measure, unto the metron, under the portion of the character of the fulfilling of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 to 13, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means a tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and your charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith? Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward one another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end that you may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ with his saints. So Paul's prayer was that they would establish their hearts in love toward one another and unblameable in holiness. As Brother Branham said, all that's required, just live a good Christian life. And so we see how God will put the people to the test to see what they really believe. In fact, John tells us the same thing in 1 John 4 and 6. And notice his words for error here is the same Greek word used for the delusion that will affect the make-believer. But notice how the true believer will not be deceived. He will identify with the true ministry not because of the man, but because of the word. How do we recognize the men who speak the truth from those who don't? You check out what they teach from the word. John said in 1 John 4 and 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. That's why I challenge you. Everything I say, it's open. My notes are put on the internet for all the world to see. Either I'm saying what the prophet said or I'm not saying what the prophet said. And either I'm saying all that he said or I'm not saying all that he said. Like some people want to take the quotes of Brother Branham and just kind of cut out half the things. I don't do that. I've never done that. Even when I was preaching on the presence and going to places, I always showed them, look, there's other quotes here too. You can go your way with them. But let's give it all. Because in the giving of it all, there's where the truth lies. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse, that's why I said, don't try to use a square peg and put it into a round hole. Now, I might have to do that with that staircase over there. But I'll use a chisel and make it a square hole. Is that okay with you? All right. But what I'm saying is, they try to put a square peg into a round hole. It doesn't fit. You've got to ram it in. You've got to jam it. Use a hammer. It's not the way God works. We don't need to use scriptures that don't apply. There's too many. There's like Brother Brown said. Why would you, when the skies are full of the real, why would you fall for a substitute? You see, now in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 to 15, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. And in Jeremiah 23, verse 16 to 32, Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, Hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you, that make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, The Lord hath said, Ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, No evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind, it shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. Now I'm going to stop here just a moment. Any of you ever see that movie years ago about when the tribulation went and the people, you know, it was called, I don't remember what it was called. Ron, you might have seen it. I think we saw it together.
Left Behind.
Yeah, that's it. Left Behind. And all these people show up to church and one or two people are missing. And then they realize that the pastor had deceived them. Well, it's going to be too late then. You better check what the pastor says. This pastor and any other pastor, you better check what he said with the message. In the first church age, they said, You're a false apostle because you're not saying what Paul said. Right? Well, if you're not saying what William Branham said or this vindicated word said, you're a false apostle. You're a false prophet. I'm going to show you this week, Lord willing, I might not broadcast it, but I'm going to show you some things this week where Brother Branham said it's false prophecy when they do certain things and say certain things. Now, the anger of the Lord shall not return until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from their way evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long have these prophesied lies in my name? How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets to prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they have every man to his neighbor, as their father have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rocks in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Now here we find God warning the people to not even pay attention to these false prophets who would speak his word falsely. And 1 Corinthians 14:37. If anyone think that they are a prophet or spiritual, or otherwise gifted by the Spirit, let them acknowledge what I am writing to you is the Lord's commandment. And Brother Branham even said, he said, I will be judged by everything Paul said. And they said, we're counting on that, Brother Branham. Brother Branham had to subject himself to the words of Paul. Then how can people take things right out of this Bible? It doesn't apply for this age. Hogwash. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't tell me certain things don't apply when they do apply. They say at the end time they'll do these things and they say they don't apply. That doesn't apply for this hour. Hello? Anybody there? I don't mean to be sarcastic, but you got to get it across some way. Can we read or do we not read? He said, say what the tapes say and say only what the tapes say. And he said, say everything. John, God speaking through John, actually Jesus in Revelation said, he that adds one word or takes one word, his name shall be taken from the book of life. And he'll have the plagues. You not only have to be able to recognize vindication, but those who are preaching that vindicated message as well. And so in order to test your God, God will allow others to rise up. And these others are ordained to take of those who are not in the true fold. In John 10, verse 7 to 8, therefore Jesus said, very truly I tell you, I am the gate of the sheep. All that have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. In John 10, 14 to 16, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And from Deuteronomy 13, verse 1 to 5. If there rise among you a prophet or dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go off after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proves you, tests you, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him. and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer dream shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from your midst. Give it the word test, brother, sister. All I ask is give it the word test. If Jesus said, the works that I do, shall he do also. It's in the word. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he said, he, whosoever, believeth on me and in me. It's there, brother, sister. Give the word test. When did God ever take that out of the Bible? Didn't they do the same thing in Brother Branham's day? The days of the apostles are gone. Didn't Brother Branham prove us they're not gone? God allows these things to test his people to see what reaction they will have. To follow after signs or wonders, or to follow the word of God. Nobody is saying we should press into things, but we are saying if God wishes it, you die to yourself so that it might happen. And all I'm saying is one thing. When Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And he said, the Son can do nothing but what the Father shows him to do. The Father worketh, the Son worketh hitherto. All I'm asking you is just be obedient to the Spirit's call. If God calls you to lay hands on someone, do it. Brother Branham had a meeting with, I can't remember his name right now. I used to know him pretty well before he died. And Brother Edmund Way. And Brother Edmund Way, he had this English spirit. Brother Branham said it was an English spirit, a very strong spirit, stubborn spirit. And he would just camp out in Brother Branham's porch. He demanded time with Brother Branham. Brother Branham had a meeting with him and his wife. He said, I have a message for you, Brother Edmund, from the Lord. Or no, I have a message for you, Sister Way. Peace, be still. A few days later in service, Edmund Way died. Right there. Brother Branham stood there in the pulpit. Brother from over here in Hamilton took off his jacket, put it under Brother Way's head. I don't remember if it was Brother Vale or somebody laid hands and prayed for him. But he was dead. Sister Way, being a registered nurse, she checked his pulse, she checked his breath, she checked, you know, all the vital signs. Nothing was there. He was dead. And she began to scream, and something within her recalled that message from God through Brother Branham, peace be still. And when she recognized it and she entered into that peace, Brother Branham stepped down from the platform, laid hands on him, and God raised him back. Maybe some of us need to die in order to get rid of our inherited spirits as well. Because Brother Branham said, people take on you go to America, they're all whistling in the graveyard. You go to Britain, they're all cracking jokes. It's a national spirit. Do we have a national spirit in Poland? It's kind of an in-your-face spirit. Do we have a national spirit, or do we have the spirit of the Holy Spirit? Do we have the Holy Spirit? You get in Italy, it's, you know, right? Talking right in your face, you know, this far. Do we have a national spirit, or do we have the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters? That's all I ask you. You pray. Let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask you, Father, to show us. Are we yielded to your spirit, O God? Do we have your spirit even to yield to it? Or do we just have church? Do we have our own thinking about things? Are we set in our own ways? Do we think that our social agenda is the correct way to go? Do we think that we know, therefore we are right? And yet Brother Branham said, you can know, but if your heart's not right, I'd rather be the guy that don't know and his heart is right. So Father, just help us, we pray, to just get ready for the going home. For we ask it humbly, and help us, O God, to be humble. And I pray, O God, as Brother Branham said, the people get all puffed up. But he said, what we need is humility. So Father, we just pray for your humility to express itself through us in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord shed his light upon thee.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace and good.